So welcome to the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul, the Mother Church of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, to celebrate a wonderful moment on this journey of conversion that you, the catechumens and candidates, have been in the process of. This is actually round three, because we had two of these yesterday. So there are several hundred men and women like yourselves who have been coming through the cathedral here to present themselves as catechumens and candidates to the church. And I want to thank on this final one, in a particular way, Father Gill and his staff and the staff of the cathedral that have been working really hard for the last 2 days and even before to make all this happen and this beautiful ceremony. Give them a round of applause for all their work. And so on this first Sunday of Lent, the church calls you forth, resonating the call that you receive deep in your heart at some point. And so the question I've asked all of you throughout this weekend is, why are you even here? Like, how did this happen, right? How did this even happen? And there might be all sorts of very ordinary and human events that unfolded as to why you're even sitting where you're sitting today. It could be that you've been thinking about this for a long time, and someone said or invited you, and here you are. It could be that maybe you sat in church one day and you heard an announcement. It could be that you're getting married and you wanted to complete your sacraments or be baptized in the church. You all have your human reasons as to why you're sitting where you're sitting right now. But I propose to you that there's another reason, a deeper reason. And that is because you've had an encounter. We've all actually have had an encounter. You had an encounter somehow, in some way, with Christ. If not, frankly, you wouldn't be here. You would be someplace else. I understand that oftentimes we use this phrase, I found the Lord, I found Jesus. I'm sure we all heard that. Either because we've said it ourselves or because other people have said it. But I have to say, every time I hear that phrase, I found Jesus, I always think, well, I didn't know the guy was lost. The reality is that we don't actually find Jesus. He actually finds us. The Lord finds us. And he's persistent. He's perseverant. He probably has been calling out to you for a long time in all sorts of different ways. So why now? Why did you respond now? In 2019 and 2020. Why did you respond now? When I was in the seminary, our scripture professor asked us a question. He said, why did Jesus come when he did? Why did he show up when he did? Why didn't he do it 5 years before? Or 10 years later? Why did he show up at that particular time? And we all waxed on eloquently about the socio-political reality of the time and the this and the that, and we all thought we were all super smart in all these answers and sophisticated responses that we were given. And at the end, he said, well, that all might be true, but if you ask the Gospel of John would say that he came when the hour had come. When it was time. When it was time. So somehow, in some way, you had an encounter with Christ. We all did. The world has, actually. And you're here now because it is time. The time has come. The time has come. And you are about to celebrate in a few weeks, and I'll be bold enough to say, the most important moment of your lives. The most important moment of your lives. There'll be other important moments, I understand. The most important moment of your life will happen in the next couple of weeks as you have this powerful encounter with the Lord in the Easter sacraments. Relish that. The church sets you apart right now to this time of retreat almost. This time of desert. You know, the gospel today has Jesus going into the desert. The reality is that if you really read the gospel, he was already in the desert, right? It's interesting because he was baptized in the desert by John the Baptist. And this happens right after that. And then he says, and then he went to the desert, but he was in the desert. So what desert is the gospel writer actually talking about? It is in the desert that powerful encounters happen. The desert is actually a good place. Great things happen in our deserts. Sometimes they're a little tough and challenging, but good things happen in the desert, in our deserts. It was in the desert that Abraham had to leave his own land in search for a better place. It was in the desert that God called Moses to go back and rescue his people and lead his people out of slavery. It was in the desert that the people of God heard the call of God and then struggled to understand what that was. Because they, you know, their lives as a people, it wasn't a nice little clean, perfect line. They had their ups and downs, if you read the Old Testament stories of the people of God. Talk about riding straight with crooked lines. It was in the desert that God encountered his people. He fed them, he guided them, he freed them. So this time of desert that Jesus enters to is a time of grace for him too. It is where he comes to understand the Father's will for him and what his gifts were not to be used for. The place of encounter. Jesus, throughout his public ministry, beginning right after this time of retreat in the desert that he goes through, begins initially with calling the initial disciples. And as he calls them, every call in the scriptures always involves a leaving something behind and embracing something new. Always. It was like that for the patriarchal fathers of the Old Testament and the prophets, always leaving something behind to embrace something new. It was the same with the apostles. As Jesus calls each one of them, they had to leave their nets, they had to leave, some of them, their family. They had to leave their way of life. Something had to change. Something had to be let go of. It's really the nature of growth and of our own life, right? You know, for 9 months, you and I floated around in this perfect little ideal world, right? It has had climate control, right? And a constant source of food. And I had to do nothing for it. But there comes a time, right? So when were we born? When the time came. And those of you who are moms, you know when the time comes, right? It doesn't ask for your permission. It does not ask for your permission. The baby that's been in your womb doesn't say, listen, would it be all right tomorrow at 12? Doesn't happen that way. That baby is born as you and I were born, not at a time of our choosing. Not at a time of our choosing. And so we're in there, floating around for 9 months, climate control, constant source of nice and warm, all the food you could eat, Talk about a buffet, right? All the food you could eat, and then we have to leave it. We have to leave it behind. And then we enter this world, and I don't know what they do now, but in the movies I used to see that they would grab you by the legs, spank you, stick things in your nose, and then say, "We're happy you're here." You know, imagine, right? What a welcome. A welcome. But if that baby didn't leave that place behind, it would die. Along with the mother. Along with the mother. There was something that had to be left behind so that you and I could then embrace a new life. And that reality is happening all over again in your lives. And you will enter a new life of the spirit, of the soul, in a very particular way in about 5-6 weeks. What a blessing it is for you. Part of your of the work of this time of Lent for you will be to see what you might be called to leave behind. It's the ongoing process of conversion, of the change of heart and life at all sorts of levels in our lives. And I'm sure already things have been percolating within your own soul. You've been thinking about it. And so in a few weeks, you will celebrate this incredible moment, sacramental moment, in which you give your heart to Christ in response to the encounter that you have had with Him. You don't do it alone. You haven't been doing it alone. Your catechist, your sponsors, your parish community has wrapped around you and walked with you. Many of them are here today. Look at this cathedral. They're here with you today to walk with you in this moment, because you don't do it alone. You don't do it alone. So the church prays for you in a particular way right now. You bring great joy to the church. You bring great joy to the Church of Philadelphia by your openness and your docility to the movements of the Spirit of God that you have encountered on your journey. Relish this moment. Savor it. It will only happen once. It will only happen once. God bless you, and I'll be praying for you.